This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
While that song was playing, my phone buzzed. I thought, what's going on here? I see I've been added to a WhatsApp group for my high school. This year, I suddenly realized, why have they made this group and put me in it? Oh, because this year is my 30-year reunion coming up. Looks like I'll be going to Bloemfontein in 2025. A place that gets almost as cold as the Netherlands in the winter is Bloemfontein. Let's head to close to Amsterdam to connect with Prof. Dion. I'm feeling a little bit old right now. Morning, Dion.
Red, I didn't know you went to school in Bloemfontein.
Yes.
Wow. I did my national service in the army in Bloemfontein. Yes, I would say it's colder than Amsterdam from memory. But then, of course, we were sleeping out in the fields at De Brug.
That's true.
So it was a different place. But my goodness, what a beautiful place! You know, the Free State has a particular beauty to it.
I know when I ended up in Bloemfontein from Cape Town because my father's work transferred him up there. And when I left, of course, I was devastated to leave. I was in grade 9 at the time. And everyone said to me, oh, shame. I'm so sorry. Oh, you know, life's going to be miserable for you. When I first arrived, it was tricky, but I loved it. I mean, I ended up finishing high school and varsity there. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, it's a great place. It's a great place. I must say, that I can't remember. Is it called Signal Hill?
Or, that's right. Signal Hill. Yes.
Yes, I remember.
The Naval Hill. Naval Hill.
Naval Hill. Yeah. Precis. I remember having to run up and down that a few times.
Dion, we're heading into this new year, and I don't want to talk about New Year's resolutions because I don't think that's what we're talking about here this morning. But certainly part of giving thought to a new year. And how we want to try and do things better or different this year so that it can be better. We set up these ideals of how we want to do things and how we're going to prioritize things in our lives and what we're going to, through the wisdom we've gained, move aside and what we want to pick up and do. And this is a really tricky thing for me because there's such a fine line between God's not exactly going to lay out this whole plan for me. He can inspire it, but he's still expecting me to do my part here. And I'm going to try and figure out my path forward, but he's the one that's going to determine my steps. It's this cooperation. But I think sometimes we very much rush off with our own ideas. Maybe there's not enough connection or understanding of what God would really want us to do. And it becomes a little bit selfish, I think, in how we pursue things potentially.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Brad. So, I mean, as you were talking there, I was thinking, that's relatively optimistic even in a sense, you know, yeah. there's sort of levels of things. I think for most of us, there are some people that are good planners, who are list people. They're sitting down and making their list. Most of us are just sort of stumbling forward and saying, okay, which is the direction of least resistance, you know? But you're absolutely right. I think that's quite true. What got me on the topic this week, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, which is, when I sent you a note, I said, can we talk about pruning our priorities in order to align with God's promises? So, pruning what we may want so that we can flourish in the way God wants us to flourish. What got me onto this topic was two things. The first one is, our daughter Courtney, she's still in Cape Town. She's just finished her master's degree and now she's entering the sort of formal job market. She's had other kinds of jobs and she applied for a position and she had, two interviews and we were so hopeful that she would get the job. And this week she got an email to say, hey, thanks. And, you're a great person, but we've gone with someone else. Oh. And Brad, that feeling. I mean, we've all applied for jobs and not got them.
Yes.
And she was devastated.
I'm sure.
She was heartbroken. And Megan and I as parents, she's an adult woman, but your heart breaks and you want to say to your kid, hey man, I'm so sorry they can't recognize how brilliant you are. But it made me think, of my own life and the lives of others and, how if everything that I wanted had been given to me, how I, would have ended up doing some strange things in some rather weird places, you know.
Yeah.
And yet somehow God leads us through life and sometimes prunes our priorities. Sometimes says, no, I don't want you to grow in that way because it's not good for you. It's not going to lead to your fulfillment and I can't get the best from your gifts out of it. The wife of Billy Graham, I remember her once saying, reading something she said, thank God that God didn't answer all my prayers for all the men I wanted to marry because I would have married the wrong man several times, you know. And of course, she ended up eventually marrying Billy Graham, which I believe was a blessing. The second thing which came to mind with this is, as you know, I keep a little diary. I've mentioned that a few times, a sort of prayer diary, reflective diary. And just this week I was looking back through some of the entries for the days this week. And there was an entry in 2018. I was approached by a university in America, Boston University, to say, you know, Dion, might you be interested to apply to become the dean of our Faculty of Religion and Theology? And, I was so flattered.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, how cool is that, you know? And I remember writing to a friend of mine, Dirkie Smith, a senior colleague, and saying, hey, Dirkie, you know, give me some advice. Think with me about this. Pray with me about this. And his response sort of shocked me. He came back. He said, Dion, flattery fails. Flattery fades. And then eventually all you have left is the work, you know.
Yes.
And he said, imagine being a dean of a highly complex, high-pressured institution where you're waking up at 4 a.m. to answer emails and deal with conflicts and figure out budget shortages in a place that you don't really understand and know. Then the flattery is not going to matter. You know, is this really what God wants you to do? And he was absolutely right. You know, it wasn't the right thing to do. But boy, it was painful. It was scary to let go of it.
Yes.
So, Brad, I was struck this week, yesterday, in fact, I read this passage from Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. Listen to this. It says, what can I offer the Lord for all that he has done for me? So I think we must notice that. What can I offer the Lord for all that he has done for me? He's the active agent. He's the one who is doing. I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. I was struck again by that. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's done that for me many times. And then it says, I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. So, Brad, I don't know who needs to hear this week. It might even be me. But, you know, the reality is we don't need to pick all of the ripe fruit that we see around us. We need to be discerning. You know, some of the fruit has to fall to the ground so that it can become the fertilizer that helps the tree to flourish and grow. A very good fruit tree also doesn't just grow in whatever direction it wants to. It needs to be pruned by the gardener so that it produces the best fruit. So my encouragement to us today again is to say, let's remain so focused, so intentionally connected to God that God may guide us and give us discernment and wisdom to know what God's good and perfect will is. That wonderful admonition from Paul, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may be able to test and approve what God's good and perfect will is.
That's amazing. And then, of course, just the last comment from my side, to overcome that fear that we sometimes have of making the wrong choice. We feel like it's all on us and what happens if I mess it up.
Yeah, well, Brad, I seem to remember talking to you about this maybe just over a year ago when I was coming to Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And I just reread, actually, I read for the first time this book. It's called Philosopher of the Heart. It's a sort of biography of the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard. And, you know, he was a very, very committed Christian. And he had this sort of notion that all choices are ultimately absurd. You know, if we think of the complexity of life, you know, how could you possibly know every variable of the present and the future and the past? And he coined this notion, the leap of faith. He said, all of life is ultimately a leap of faith. And the only certainty we have is to leap into the hands of the one who is faithful.
Whoa.
So I take that, obviously we do need to make choices and we need to consider reasonably what all of them are. But ultimately we do it in faith. We say, Lord, I'm making the best choice I can for now, but guard me against it if it's wrong and help me if it's right.
Yeah, and God wants to see us succeed. We just sometimes ignore him and the process and run off on our own tangent. And I think that's where the biggest mistakes come around. Dion, what a pleasure to hang out with you as always. I know you've and you're getting close to 7:30 your side, so you've still got your whole morning ahead of you. Thanks for your time, your expertise, your enthusiasm, and I always enjoy hanging out with you. It makes me feel very not alone. So thanks so much for that.
Thanks, Brad. Well, listen, lots of love to all of you on that side. And I heard it was a bit colder
It
yesterday.
was, but it's
I hope
beautiful today.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. WhatsApp me some sunshine.
I'll do that. Take care, dude. Cheers.
God bless. Bye then.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.